Hi, this is Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, telling you to stay tuned to WNJC 1360 AM for Thursday in the Doghouse, coming right up.
Mama was a mutt, Daddy was one too. Me, I'm a little bit of everything, everything that I use. One day I'm walking down my...
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Thursday in the Doghouse, the best educational radio show that talks about dogs. I'm your host, Karen Fazio, the dog super nanny.
Rick Primeza, the Jersey dog trainer.
Thursday in the Doghouse comes live to you every Thursday morning from 10 to 10:30 right here on WNJC 1360 AM. Rini and I are professional dog trainers and behavior consultants in New Jersey. We meet many pet parents every day who struggle with managing their dog's fearful behavior, dogs that show aggression to other dogs, as well as dogs that show aggression toward humans. Rini and I also hear our clients saying, "But he's nothing like my other dog," or "My dog is spiteful and stubborn." Clearly, there's a communication gap between our two species, and our goal is to help you gain a better understanding of your dogs so that you can have the best relationship possible with your canine companion. This morning, Rini and I will speak with veterinarian Dr. Tammy Anderson of North Star Vets Veterinary Emergency Trauma and Specialty Center in Robbinsville, New Jersey. Dr. Anderson specializes in internal medicine, and she places a great deal of focus on communicating directly with pet owners. Today, Dr. Anderson is going to discuss what questions and topics dog owners should be discussing when they visit their vets. You know, all too often, many of us clam up the minute the vet walks through the door, and we let the vet control the conversation during the exams. Dr. Anderson encourages pet owners to discuss at length their pet's health. These conversations have yielded important health information that has helped her uncover medical illnesses and disorders which may have otherwise been missed because of a lack of communication. We're going to return in just a moment to welcome Dr. Anderson to the show, but right now we're going to take a short break so that Rini can tell you what services she offers in the South Jersey area as a professional dog trainer and certified behavior consultant.
Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age, and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Welcome back to Thursday in the Doghouse. This morning we're speaking with Dr. Anderson of North Star Vets in Robbinsville, New Jersey, about what to discuss with your vet during visits. Welcome to the show, Dr. Anderson.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, we're very happy to have you. I understand that before you became a veterinarian, you were actually a registered nurse. What made you decide to become a vet?
Well, the interesting thing actually is a nice story. I always wanted to be a veterinarian. And as you know, New Jersey does not have a veterinary school. And I did not initially finish my pre-med. I went to Kansas State for a year. I came back and decided that I would be a nurse, which is what my mother is. Mm-hmm. And I always kept that dream of becoming a veterinarian. And one day I was outside and I heard Tracy Chapman's song, "If Not Now, When?" And decided at that moment that I would become what I always wanted to be, which was a veterinarian.
Cool.
Interestingly, and just as an aside, my mother became a nurse because she wanted to work for the veterinarian down the road who hired nurses as she was growing up, because in the 50s or early 60s, you know, women did not become veterinarians in general.
Right.
So it was, she didn't tell me that until I was graduating from veterinary school. So that was really very interesting to me.
Yeah, your genes are going in the same direction.
Yeah, I don't think I had any choice in the matter, so.
Keeping it in the family.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
When you consider communicating with your clients, you consider communicating with your clients so important, and you often encourage clients to contact you on a weekly basis. I mean, I know this from experience because I have a client that is a patient of yours. And, you know, can you tell me why those conversations are so important to a pet's overall health?
Sure. Well, one of the things, and I'll use Buster, if you don't mind, for a little bit to just illustrate. As you know, Buster was a dog who was rescued, had health issues kind of very soon after he was adopted.
Mm-hmm.
And within 3 weeks of her adopting Buster, he had very bad diarrhea and became extremely thin. I don't know if she'd shown you his pictures, but he really was losing a lot of weight and not doing very well in general because of that. And she had done all of the diagnostics that her veterinarian ordered, which I would have recommended as well initially, and came to me several months later, and we had to have a very long conversation because after reviewing all of the results, I couldn't tell what was going on with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a young dog, and there are certain things that young dogs get, but he wasn't kind of fitting into any of the categories. And one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to her about Buster Weekly was she was very anxious about the dog because he'd lost so much weight and his body condition was poor. And she was truly worried about his ability to recover from whatever was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, if you don't have the relationship where you know you can call someone and talk about, hey, you know, this is what's going on, you can't get what you need for your pet. If you don't have that relationship. And I will tell you, you know, I'm very busy. I have a lot of clients. Often I will talk to the people weekly if they're very anxious. And I also have technicians who are wonderful with helping me, in terms of conveying what I, you know, because I can't be on the phone with several people at once.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of support. But for me, that is part of my enjoyment of my job is I actually get to feel like I'm helping the people as well.
Absolutely, sure, you are.
And what kind of problems did you uncover as a result of those conversations?
Well, it was kind of interesting with Buster. He's actually, and this to some people will sound a little silly, but to me, one of the most interesting things about him was, you know, until I sat down and really said. Because she was kind of set on, I want to get some histopathologic biopsies to diagnose what's going on. I said, well, can we step back? Can we just look and kind of look at the history a little bit better?
Mm-hmm.
And it actually turned out that when she initially had him, he was on a food, he was on puppy chow. He wasn't having any problems, and it wasn't until she switched the diet that he started having diarrhea.
Right.
So although he could have acquired something else along the way. You know, what I said is, I know he's not a puppy anymore, but let's put him on puppy chow and see if the diarrhea resolves. And fortunately, it did.
Wow.
So obviously, now, what did that do? Well, that gave us a diagnosis by seeing that the signs went away by simple diet change. And she had, as I said, she had been set to, okay, we'll get biopsies and everything. And sometimes we can do things a little less invasively, a little less costly, so we can manage the animal overall. You know, you spend money maybe in a way that is frugal, and then later on, if he has issues, you can then, you know, address those as well.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so
like
I was very
said,
pleased.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's okay.
Dr. Anderson, how would you have a discussion with a client in order to figure out whether something was just a medical issue or was there a behavioral issue? I know that some medical issues cause behavioral issues and some behavioral issues wind up causing some medical issues.
Absolutely. Well, one of the let's just pick urinary incontinence, for instance.
Right.
So I'm sure you have a lot of clients that deal with, you know, you're dealing with housebreaking.
Definitely.
You know, versus incontinence. So they're leaking urine is the sign that people will say.
Right.
A lot of times we need to discuss exactly what the dog is doing, because when it gets interpreted by the client as the dog's urinating, urinating implies a conscious effort.
Right.
You know, that the dog is aware. And that's not always what is going on. Sometimes I'll have people videotape the behavior.
That's a good idea.
So I can see it. And it's wonderful, because now we have, you know, we have all these smartphones and we have all these ways that people can convey that information, where they don't necessarily need to come in and see me every week, but they might send me a picture of something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so our, you know, the way that we are able to communicate is really expanded in the last, I would say, 7 years, with everybody having a smartphone, even me.
Sure.
So, but the thing is, I go back to, when was your animal, one of my favorite questions is, when was your animal last normal? When did you first notice that there was a problem?
Mm-hmm.
And it's surprising, because a lot of times people will say, you know, a week ago, the dog seemed to go off food, but then you talk to them a little more, and well, she's been slowing down for 2 months. And, you know, we sometimes attribute everything to old age.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that it's just old age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, often, you know, we say old age isn't a disease.
Right.
But we do know that behaviors change as animals age.
Right.
But they should not go outside the realm of this is within normal for this dog.
Right.
You know, for instance, dogs who are well house trained, if there's been no change, I mean, you know this, if they haven't changed the environment, all of a sudden, you know, everything's exactly the same. The kids haven't left for college, everything's the same, and all of a sudden the dog's urinating in the house.
That's definitely a call to go to the vet.
Exactly. That's a different sort of thing. Now, I'm sure you get people, too, where they tell you, well, my boyfriend just moved in.
Yeah.
And now the dog's peeing in the house. Well, that could very well be a behavioral thing.
Right. Yeah, if you get them to tell you that, though. So that's what I think that your conversation is all about. How would you pull that information out, or not even knowing that that situation was even happening?
Right. Well, one of the things is that for me, I have the benefit of, I have a lot of, usually with referrals, I have a lot of information, medical information up front.
Right.
And my appointments are hour long, so I can actually get in there and talk and try to be calm during that period of time. In other words, not be in a rush.
Mm-hmm.
You know, say, sit down, let's relax, and let's talk about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not until people really stop and think, because they've already interpreted what they think is going on,
right,
that they can share, kind of without bias, what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
They have to tell you that the main thing, that the most impactful thing on my client's life was the fact that you communicated with her. I mean, she came home and she called me and she says, oh my God, this place is the most amazing place ever. This vet spent an hour with me,
mm-hmm.
an hour, Karen, you know,
mm-hmm.
talking about this, talking about that, you know, and it's so important, because these clients and, you know, these dog owners are frustrated and they're afraid, and, you know, when it's just human nature. I mean, when we're faced with somebody with a white coat, we clam up.
Right.
You know, we think that they know best, and they do, but, you know, we have a tendency to let them guide the conversation, and I really like your style, because you encourage people to talk and to just kind of be free with you, and that's so lacking in the veterinary community today. It's just so refreshing to find a veterinary hospital that embraces those qualities.
So I think especially for medicine cases where often it's not very clear cut. You know, often, just like with neurology, we're trying to sort out, is there a behavioral problem or an organic problem?
Mm-hmm.
It is really important to get those histories. And
right.
With with clients that, and you're right, I think we see a little bit more now as people become more comfortable with veterinarians. In other words, you know, none of us are gods, you know, doctors aren't gods and that sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
to get them to open up. But it's not unusual to, well, you know, if I see clients over and over, they become part of my life. And so to me, that's also, I really enjoy people.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the, my blessings in my life is actually having really wonderful clients. You know,
mm-hmm.
I see clients who want to take care of their pets.
Right.
That's wonderful.
Karen, Dr. Anderson, we're going to need to take a short little break right now so that Karen can tell our listeners what services she offers in the Keyport, New Jersey area.
Are you the owner of a fearful or aggressive dog and don't know where to turn? Have you called other trainers and they've turned you down because they don't want to deal with an aggression case? Then My Best Friend Dog Training and its special service, the Dog Super Nanny, is maybe just what you're looking for. We do in-home private consultations. We're located in Keyport, New Jersey, and we do travel. Our phone number is 732-533-9376, and our website is mybestfrienddogschool.com. We are positive-based trainers and don't use physical punishment or fear as a way to motivate your dog. We use games and fun as a way to do that, and we also help you during the whole process. So give us a call. We're here for you. 732-533-9376.
Welcome back to Thursday in the Doghouse. We've been speaking with Dr. Tammy Anderson of North Star Vets in Robinsonville, New Jersey. Dr. Anderson, most clients freeze up when they're speaking to their veterinarian, and as we had mentioned earlier, how do you get clients to start talking freely?
Well, one of the things that I do like to do, and I think it's helpful in terms of connecting with clients, is, you know, first of all, acknowledge what they're concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why are you here today? And then also, usually there's something, I love dogs. I love cats, too, but I love dogs, and I have some of my own. And often there's some similarity that I can point out between my pet and theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when people have problems, you know, as a veterinarian, I deal with behavioral problems in my own home as well,
mm-hmm.
or deal with health issues. And I know how hard it is. I think one of the things that has made me actually a better veterinarian and more compassionate is that I recently adopted a diabetic dog. And, boy, if I want to know about diabetes, have a diabetic dog and try to do all the things that your veterinarian tells you to do.
Right.
It has dramatically changed how I present to my clients what they can do because I know what I can do.
Right.
And I'm a devoted pet owner. And so I think, you know, having that, well, yes, I also have trouble managing this. This is not a simple thing. It's not going to go away. It's a big deal. And actually acknowledging that. And if they see that you care and that you struggle with similar things, I think people are much more willing to talk about maybe something they consider embarrassing.
Sure.
You know, I have an 8-year-old dog who has diabetes who's peeing in the house. Well, maybe they don't want to tell me that.
Right.
You know, people think, oh, I haven't trained my dog right. That may not be the issue.
Mm-hmm. I can identify with that because sometimes if I get called on an aggression case, already the people are feeling guilty, and so they don't want to give you all the information because they don't want you judging them, which makes it a little difficult sometimes because then you don't get the whole history, and so we can't help them as, you know, 100% unless we do get that whole history.
Right, and I can't imagine, especially with aggression, with all the concerns people have about my dog getting, you know, there's some legal issues.
Really?
They probably are.
Yeah.
And harder for you to get those histories.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
It is, because people don't want to talk about it. You know,
right.
They're afraid that they're going to get in trouble.
Right.
Or that we're going to think that they're bad owners, that
yeah.
they did something wrong, you know. And, you know, I have the same kind of philosophy that you do. I spend a great deal of time. I mean, my average training is an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Me too.
Just so I could spend that time speaking with people.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what, if you don't mind, Dr. Anderson, would you mind sharing some contact information with the hospital, where it's located, the address, maybe the web address, phone number?
Yeah. Sure. Well, you can reach me at tanderson@northstarvets.com.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very bad sometimes at answering that, but we do have northstarvets.com. You can get onto our website, which is very interesting, we do have some educational information on there as well, and as well as some of the outreach things that we do with the community.
Mm-hmm.
So we do some things through this facility, which is beautiful. Our phone number is 609-259-8300. And the other thing is, we are a referral-only hospital. So, and this is very important to remember, is I do not work independently. I work with your veterinarian. And so it's important that the veterinarian refers you, because we can get information from the veterinarian as well as the client that will help us help you better.
Mm-hmm.
And we, once somebody comes through the door in terms of a consult with any of our specialists, they get a letter, the clients get a letter, the referring veterinarian gets a letter at the time of discharge regarding, you know, what we think is going on and what we think should be done in the future. And so those relationships that you have with your veterinarian are never going to be broken. You know, we don't give vaccines. We don't do preventive care.
Oh, right? Wow. Hmm. Interesting. Dr. Anderson, when you went to vet school, did you specialize in behavior, or did this interest in behavior develop over time, and how much studying did you actually have to do before you started to deal with behavior problems also?
Well, unfortunately, in vet school, now I graduated in 95 from Ohio State. And at that time, we did have some behavior courses, but I will tell you that they were not very involved. And there was not even really, you know, there were lectures. There wasn't even anything to specifically read.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now behavior is identified as actually a specialty, and that, you know, there needs to be a lot of effort put into that, because we all know that behavior issues are one of the major reasons people lose their animals.
Absolutely.
So that is really important. I actually have been trying to get myself a little better educated. As I told you, I have some issues with my own pets at home.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been advocating people reading The Culture Clash.
Oh, very good book.
Isn't it a fantastic book?
Yes, it is. It was one of the first books I read when I started.
Oh, I just think it's absolutely wonderful. So I've been, you know, kind of trying to brush up on all of those things and get some idea.
Right.
We know behavior in terms of handling and that sort of thing in the hospital environment, which is, as you know, artificial.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish I had there are times where I know I have gaps. Like I said, I have issues with my own dogs, which I try to sort through.
Mm-hmm.
But I have, anytime I have something that I truly think is behavioral, you know, I do refer them to trainers they need, because that's not my area of expertise.
Well, Karen Fazio, I think, is right in your area.
There you go. That's
away.
What I mean.
If you need those, let me know.
I will. So that's exactly right.
I have a whole bunch of books, too, that I could recommend, and many of them are medical texts. Well, so you should be able to follow that really easily.
Yes, well, I did go. You have a wonderful website as well.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm a big fan of neurology. So
you have to be, right?
Yep, I like to study the brain and the effects of stress on the brain and those kinds of responses and things. So it's a very exciting field for me. Renee, do you have any particular case that you would like to maybe bring up to Dr. Anderson?
Well,
maybe she can make suggestions.
I was going to actually try and refer you, but you said that you need a vet referral, so I'm not sure that my client's vet would know to do that, but I certainly can make the suggestion, because I think that it's that you might be able to help these people. The woman, the couple is pregnant, and she's due, I believe, in the summer. They have an old English bulldog who, when she was in puppy class, they were taking her to a puppy class, but it was not positive, and so she wound up having a seizure. And the vet put her on medication, and she hasn't had a seizure since. She's now, I don't have my notes in front of me, but I think she's about 5 years old, and now she's beginning to have seizures again. And all of a sudden, I went to their house. I had been there two times already, and then I went and I started to see that the dog was, to me, the dog looked like she was heading toward being emaciated. I could see every bone on the ribs, really clearly. Mm-hmm. And the spine was way too prominent. She was also having problems with her gums bleeding. So I said, you got to go to the vet. So, she had wound up losing 5 pounds. There was no reason for it. They had changed her food, but they weren't decreasing the food, and the food that she was eating was okay. It was a medium quality dog food, but what they were feeding her before was a little better, but I didn't think that the food itself was causing her to lose weight. But she went to the vet. And this is, look, you know, I mean, I know vets are very intelligent, but sometimes things drive me crazy. So the vet said to them that your dog is the healthiest bulldog I have ever seen. And they sent them home. Now, all of a sudden, the dog is doing some irregular things at night. She's been house trained forever. She's bolting out of her crate in the middle of the night after she pees in it. They also had her, you know, they recognized that she ran out of her crate and ran into the guest room and urinated on the bed in the guest room. This is highly unusual. And the vet said over the phone, well, she's having seizures, and they upped her Phenobarb. So I got an email from them this morning stating that they may have to cancel our Saturday appointment because she has to go to the vet, and now they want to check her liver. So I don't know enough about seizures, and I had a dog that died of liver disease. But how can you say over the phone that excess elimination is a seizure? Is that a symptom of seizuring?
Well, certainly I would just, you know, and of course I don't know all the history.
Right.
But what I would be worried as an internist would be that there is something that has changed. And I do worry about the dog's liver because the urinating in the house.
Right.
That may be polyuria, which is just excessive urination.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be a medical problem.
Right.
And we also know certain anticonvulsants can lead to liver damage when given chronically.
Oh, no.
So I'm a little worried that it may be actually liver may be having really a problem. The other thing that I would be concerned about is this dog have some kind of metabolic issue going on. So in other words, like Cushing's disease, where they have too much steroid hormone.
Right.
Can actually cause them to have muscle wasting, drink and urinate a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be any number of things, but
right.
I think getting blood work and looking at the liver is a great idea.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they may also need to do some liver function tests, slightly different tests, and they'll get on screening blood work.
Right.
But that's certainly the first step. But the other thing, can I just go back to diet real quickly?
Yeah, we have 2 minutes.
One of the things that I will also tell people to do is actually get me the caloric density of the food.
Okay.
Okay, because we can have weight loss. So when I'm talking to somebody about weight loss,
right.
What I want to know is your pet, does your pet have a good appetite while it's losing weight? Which would suggest if it's eating enough calories and it's losing weight, then it's not absorbing the food.
Okay.
Or there's a metabolic state that's causing a hypermetabolic state, like hyperthyroidism, which is very rare in dogs, but can happen with certain tumors.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have to be something that's a pretty easy thing to set through, but what I have to do to diagnose that the dog's actually eating enough calories,
mm-hmm.
is get a calorie count of that food.
Okay.
And see how they're feeding.
Right.
You'd be surprised. I'm always surprised because I have people that invariably overfeed their pets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably 75% of people overfeed their pets.
Mm-hmm.
Other people are underfeeding them, and it's coincided with diet change.
Right.
What I will also tell you is there are some lower protein diets that will cause them to actually drink a lot and pee a lot.
Right.
So it can be a number of things, but the first thing I rule out is, because I'm kind of simple, is rule out that we're giving enough calories.
Mm-hmm.
And then
we're almost out of time.
No, Karen, we just got the go ahead that we can go for another few minutes.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, we can go. So, all right. So if she goes to the vet, they're going to do liver studies. What I'm going to tell you is that when I first took my history, I don't have my notes in front of me, but this dog is on so much chemicals. And I was alarmed to hear that, but, you know, I can't make statements like that because I'm not the veterinarian.
Right.
But from my education and from also what I learned about my own dogs, one had liver disease that he died of, and so the dog that I have now may have been having liver function problems, and so we stopped all chemicals. And so he's doing a heck of a lot better.
Right.
So I tend to think that what you're saying is really hitting home with me. She's been on phenobarb forever. She's been increased on the phenobarb. She's taking other drugs and chemicals. And so I am really concerned that, just like with my own dog, all of these chemicals wind up having an effect on the dog over time.
Absolutely.
You
have to say also, you know, not all, sometimes it's estimated that probably 30% people have seizures as well.
Right.
They'll have a single seizure. Well, we don't put them on anticonvulsant medication necessarily.
Right.
So we have to be careful. And one of the things that I would also encourage clients to do is that not only have that beginning conversation with the veterinarian, but make sure one of the things that I do, and everybody has a different style, but I do put the responsibility on the pet owner.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you have to call me about Buster next week.
Yeah.
Because, yes, I'm not going to forget about Buster, but that's part of your job in terms of taking care of your dog is to give me a call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to help you,
mm-hmm.
but pick up the phone and call me.
Well,
don't you wish you had more clients like that?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
So dedicated to their dog.
Well,
you know, unfortunately, we get a mixed bag in that sometimes, you know, the only calls I get are, you know, the dog's doing terribly.
Right.
And what I really, you know, need to know is how is the dog doing? You know, if I've asked you to call in 2 weeks
mm-hmm.
and you call 3 months later, oh, he's doing fine for 2 months and now he's doing lousy. It's going to be harder for me to figure out what's going on.
Right.
Dr. Anderson, this has been such a fascinating conversation, and I wish we could go on, but I actually have an appointment with a client in about 45 minutes, so I've got to make a beeline out of here. I hope that you'll be willing to join us again. I would love to discuss more issues with you, and I'm
absolutely.
Sure Karen
let me
would.
Know.
Oh, definitely. Okay. And Karen, I know that you would be happy to have Dr. Anderson back with us again.
Absolutely.
So we're going to arrange it. And so thank you very, very much. And I hope our listeners enjoyed this program. I know I did. And we will talk to you next week on Thursday in the Doghouse right here on WNJC, 1360 AM. Listen to us live from 10 to 10:30. Have a great day, everybody.
You too. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Dr. Anderson.
Thank you very much.
Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Since 2 o'clock, I've been holding it in. Grab the leash, let's go chop chop. If I don't get out soon, the cord's gonna pop. Twist and shout. Ooh, I gotta go out. Turn. No, I'd love to stay and talk. Of course.